How long gone is here? Sunday. Just a couple days after the aftermath of 420. Chris, how you feeling? 420 is still fresh on our minds, you know?
It's really funny to experience 420 in a southern college town because I was walking solo from the Pinch where I stayed to dinner at this place, Vern's, that was excellent. And the whole time I was being trailed by this group of like goofy college students who were wishing every single person they walked by happy holidays.
And they probably thought they're pretty darn clever doing that, right?
They were having the time of their fucking lives, dude. They were so high. They were drunk. They were just every single person they were wishing a happy holidays
to. On the way to Frisbee golf somewhere.
Dude, I was just like, guys, you have to get tired of this soon. Like, it was a 22-minute walk. Like, this wasn't like a little stroll. These guys were wishing happy holidays to grandma checking out of the hotel, mm-hmm. like their fellow college student. Anyone was getting the wish, but I mean, I obviously survived 420 as a non-participant, but is your brain still scrambled like the eggs I had for breakfast, or you good?
Oh, I'm good. I didn't really, it was just another day in the life of me. I did not do anything special 420 wise. I didn't like, oh, I've been saving this like vintage 2017 Keef rolled hybrid spliff for just an occasion like that. I didn't have a sideways moment.
Babe, tonight though, instead of Parmesan, let's put the Keef on the pasta. I think that would be sick.
Dude. And speaking of, thanks to Pure Beauty for sending over the marijuana leaf, La Mora Pizzeria, cannabis oil, lemon ricotta herb, za.
Yeah.
To crunch down on my 420 munchie sesh. That's where I truly felt like a VIP person, you know what I mean? Like, once you kind of raise the ranks on iTunes and Spotify,
yeah.
You start getting some perks, you know? You start getting recognized at Best Buy and, like, quick selfie TT, you know, stuff like that. And it's
I got a good one, by the way.
It's all good. But then when you're like, damn, it's 420 today, it's like 4:20 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and it's a Tuesday and I'm working and I'm kind of stoned. I got the munchies and literally just a nice person shows up at my front door with a hot pizza.
Mm.
This is making it, you know what I mean?
That is pretty sick. I mean, that pizza with the big pot leaf on it, I did see that on several of my favorite influencers' feeds, so I was glad to see.
I did too. Remember where you saw it first, though.
My co-host and esteemed friend, Them Jeans, was the first person I saw posted, of course.
Of course, yeah. And I got the biggest leaf, bigger than all you fucking losers.
I bet. Now, the real question is, did you put any of that cannabis oil into a coffee, Starbucks style? To really see how fucked up you could get. This is something I was thinking about. You didn't waste it all, did you?
No. I still have it. I mean, I kept the oil, of course. but the total THC level in the entire 1 ounce ramekin was like 10 milligrams. So, you know, that's just me getting out of bed in the morning type dosage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So it's not going to, okay. But that's just something I did want to talk about, you trying. You guys have probably seen this. I don't know if it's is it in New York or is it just in LA for now? The Starbucks olive oil coffee.
I don't know. I know it's available in select locations, not all of them.
I'm sure if you're hitting the Starbucks Reserve after you wait in line for 45 minutes to get in, they will have it for you there.
Yeah.
But just to be clear, it's an iced coffee, a hot coffee, or it's dealer's choice.
They have multiple offerings. They have like a hot latte. They have a cold brew blast kind of thing like that. But you can also just order it however you want. And I'm never the type of person who's going to order like a Starbucks drink with like syrup pumped into it. That's like,
yeah.
That's baby mama behavior. And especially like toffee flavor.
It's disgusting.
I'm like, I'm a grown ass man. I'm not going to put toffee into my fucking latte. Obviously
crazy.
No shade to any squirters that subscribe to the show.
We're pro squirt, obviously.
Yeah.
We would never shame the squirt community.
Squirt, let me be clear, squirt is not pee. It's its own entity. And I believe that we should hold I need space four pumps. For squirt.
I need four pumps, bro. You know what I'm saying? No, that is God. That's nice of you to kind of shed light on that. But so
yeah, I just ordered a latte.
Okay,
I said give me a tall latte. So that's their smallest offering. Two shots instead of one.
Okay.
Whole milk.
Okay.
And olive oil. Straight up. That's it.
Okay. And just quickly, was the barista taking this in stride? Were they alarmed at the order? Is this something you think they'd seen before?
My barista. Yeah. I feel like Starbucks employees now are just basically like frontline essential workers. So it's like asking your mom, like, oh, like when you're like delivering a baby and like some like afterbirth comes out, like, does that shock you? And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
yeah, that's
true. I've seen people literally order just like the gnarliest shit of all time. You ordering your latte without toffee syrup is
honestly, I guess that's true.
Giving me life. But yeah, they're totally fine with it. They're like, all right, cool. If it's your funeral, you want to order this nasty ass shit, yeah, go for it.
I wonder what happens. I wonder if it's like, you know, if you work at Starbucks long enough, do you completely not ingest any of the products, or do you do like weird stuff that you like make work for you? You know what I'm saying? It's like if you work at Chipotle,
right. Like when people say like, oh, like if you knew what we're doing to this shit at McDonald's, you'd never pull up to the drive-thru again in your life. Yeah. I think that they're sort of, to me, it's kind of like smoking. It's like, you know, there are dangers. And there are ways you can do it the right way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. And you could choose to drink Starbucks responsibly if you want.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I think I've told you this before, though, when, you know, back in the hardcore days when the homie would work at Starbucks and they would make some concoction, you know, that had 15 ingredients and it was vegan. But it had, I mean, looking back, I'm sure it was 1,200 calories. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But it tasted so good. I feel like back in the day they had time to get creative. But now it's a fucking sweatshop, and they just got to pump out olive oil lattes for fucking, you know, middle class guys in the suburbs while they wait in the Tesla.
In my neighborhood, there's literally like Starbucks hierarchy going on.
Really?
Yeah, like there's locations next to schools and like high school kids.
Oh, okay.
Like every single day after high school, every single kid goes to Starbucks. There's like the Starbucks closest to the high school by my house. There will be like 100 kids wall to wall. It's like a Fred Again concert.
What a nightmare.
Every single day at 3:15 when the bell rings or whatever it is, and not a single one of them is drinking coffee. They're just getting like yummy treat. Like, they're getting like cookie and strawberry juice.
Okay,
you know?
So they're not even, so they're not blasting cigs and having a fucking black coffee and blasting Elliott Smith on the Beats pill. They're having sugary treat after class to get a little buzz to maybe finish some of that homework before mom and dad get home.
And it's also like a social thing. Like if you don't go to Starbucks after class, then you're like a poor loser, broke hoe. You make me disgusting, kind of. You know, like it's that kind of thing.
Okay, cool. Because I was just saying to Alex this morning, I was like, when people choose to go to Starbucks in Manhattan, like that is where they go to get coffee.
Right.
I really can't wrap my head around it. I mean, in any city where people wait in line in a drive-thru for Starbucks when there's no line inside, that also baffles me. But that's because we're a fat, lazy country.
Uh-huh,
but in New York, where you literally can get a better coffee at the bodega, I don't understand. I guess is it just the warm hug of the kind of the all-knowing corporate business?
No, it's the fucking app. They get sucked in. They get locked in by the app. You know, it's like if I was like, "Oh, Chris, let's drive to San Gabriel Valley and go to Panda Express." It's kind of like, "What are we doing here, guys?" Like, there's literally better coffee anywhere. There's literally better orange chicken anywhere on the block. But some people do want that familiar hug of just what they know and the nostalgia of it. But I really think a lot of it is like the rewards. It's the app, and the app is not so much about like every 10th. Frappuccino, every 10th fucking whatever you get, then you get like a free pump of vanilla or whatever. You
it's
get
about
a free
points, though, right?
Caramel cheesecake bite. No, well, it
sure.
I think the illusion is the points, but what it really is like the antisocial element where you don't have to interact with people. You just walk inside,
take it,
and then your drink is just sitting there and like somebody grunts at you. I think that's what it really boils down to.
I mean, I hate I've never used an app to order anything in that way, like ordering something for like pre-ordering and then picking it up. I just think that's insane. For a coffee, it takes 3 minutes. Like you're not
for
busy.
A coffee, it's we insane. For sure. But for, but even I mean, for even food,
even
whatever.
Even it's, no, it's Sweet Green. I want that shit fresh. I want to see what these motherfuckers are doing to my shit. I ain't trying to pull up on, I'm not trying to pull up and sift through 100 salads on a sad, on a sad kind of display wall. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
not,
so you want to go there with your little magnifying glass and you're at, exactly. You're talking all through the journey.
Exactly.
Just like, exactly. So that's the amount of za'atar breadcrumbs we're going to do. Okay, interesting. I just think it's funny that...
I'm looking at the za'atar breadcrumb price, and I don't think you just gave me my money's worth, sir. And I'd like to... Is there a manager I could speak with?
There's a flag on the plate.
I go Karen mode if I don't get my za'atar.
Za'atar?
I need my za'atar on my salad? no, but I think that those... I see that happen fairly often when I go to the J. Crew office and I venture down to check out what's going on at Brookfield Place, which is like a high-end mall where the offices are, and there's literally 50 people in fucking business casual clothing waiting for a salad at Chopped, looking like they want to kill themselves. And it's like, what I'm saying is I don't think it's that much faster when it's actually, you know what I mean? Like when it's
right.
I think when it's something, when it's busy. They can only do so much. So I don't know if it's actually faster. So I think that it proves your theory of, I just don't want to talk to the person making my salad so badly. I want to stand and look at my phone for 10 minutes and wait amongst the other.
Yeah. I want to watch, you know, the guy from Barstool Sports review pizza in Italy. Yeah. I want to watch fucking fight vids from Australia.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's my only moment of zen for the day.
I mean, it's a dark, I mean, so back to the olive oil, are you, is this hashtag new addiction, or are you good after one pump?
No.
After one squirt, are you coming back for more or no?
No. This pussy's closed for business. All it took was one pump and I'm good. But it's one of those things, like so many novelty foods in the world, where you're like, you eat it or you drink it and you're like, that was an interesting experiment. Didn't hate it, but I will never crave this. Sure. And I will never go back and order another one, because there's, you know, like the nutritional benefits of it. Like, I'm already eating enough oil as it is every day. Not seed, zero rapeseed going in this fucking temple.
Of course, but you're
my
you're
bronze
your...
temple. But yeah, I mean, I'm literally drink fish oil out of the bottle, liquid fish oil out of the bottle, like a fucking 1942 headshot drank mo. Like, I'm Kendricking straight fish oil every single morning.
Okay, so you're saying you don't need, but what are supposed to be the benefits of this olive oil and coffee? Is it flavor?
I think it's very similar to like the, well, it's a little bit of flavor, some rich complex nuttiness, blah 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 blah, but it's not necessarily a mouthfeel that the world has been yearning for years, because Italians have been drinking olive oil and espresso for hundreds of years or whatever. If they wanted to do this, if this needed to happen, it would have happened already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Jason, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You're eating at restaurants you don't want to eat at all the time to appease myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who used your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors very close to you and instantly book appointments with them online. Just like when I'm looking for new shoes on my sites, you can filter specifically, see which doctors take your insurance, located near you, maybe find a doctor that's far away from you for personal reasons you don't want to disclose.
I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code How Long, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code How Long. That's Nutrafol.com promo code How Long.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel. But I think they're kind of riding the coattails of like the bulletproof coffee movement.
Okay.
Putting in some healthy fats inside your body, and then the fats, while being consumed with coffee or caffeine, will then sort of prolong and time release the caffeine into your system. So it's, you don't get the crash, the jittery.
Okay.
You know, so it's like it makes the caffeine more sustainable in your body.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure there's some truth to
which
that.
Which is like the opposite of breaking down an Oxycontin so the time release stops working. It's like you're adding a time release, which
that's where I was getting confused. Yeah, that's where I was kind of having that was kind of the bottleneck for me.
Yeah, nobody like pulls into the Starbucks drive through and like, oh man, I really need a pick me up to hit slowly over the next 8 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you need it now, bro.
Yeah, the whole point of ordering a 40-ounce iced coffee is so that it fucking is in your fucking veins. It's not because it
like coffee tastes... that has a fucking shoulder strap, like yeah, a Hermes bag. Just like, well, I can't carry it all by myself.
My coffee has a fucking shoulder strap. I gotta sustain.
If you got the grip strength for it, then good for you, but I sure don't.
I wanted to talk about a book I read on the plane. It's a trending title right now called Romantic Comedy, and it's by an author named Curtis Sittenfeld, who's written several books.
It's the talk of the town?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I've just seen a certain group of kind of writers and media types discussing on Twitter. I decided to tap in, thanks to my friends over at McNally Jackson. I was able to purchase a copy. And okay. So it's clearly based on Saturday Night Live. The show is called The Night Owls, and it's about a kind of like late 30s like writer woman who is unlucky in love, and it sees her kind of co-writer at The Night Owls. Basically, she's worked at Saturday Night Live for a long time, and she sees all these schlubby writer guys marry famous, beautiful actresses or pop stars, you know?
Okay.
And she's like, this would never happen to a woman. You know, this would just never happen. No man.
Double standard,
which is, you know, she's right.
Yeah, everyone knows all the SNL writers are dating supermodels.
I mean, I think, well, historically, I think there has been some success over the years, you know what I mean? But I think that this is...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm exaggerating. Yeah, you're right. Being a funny guy
can
go far in life compared to being a funny girl, and that is a double standard that sucks. For me, I'm one of those rare guys that's actually into funny girls. Yeah. But go ahead, Chris. You had a story?
I don't really care about looks, you know? I'm more into like personality and kind of like what's in your heart, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, don't leave your girl around me. I might fuck her out and fall in love with her brain.
don't leave me talking to your chick at a party, because if she knows stuff I don't know, I might be trying to hit, honestly. So then there's a show in 2018 where a male pop star who is clearly based on John Mayer performs on the show. And they're working on scripts together, and they kind of have this moment at the after party. She says something to him about dating models. He kind of gets offended. It's 3:30. He goes home. Mm-hmm. They don't see each other. And then Jason, we skip ahead. Have you heard of this COVID-19 pandemic? It kind of shut things down.
Bro, that was my writer's strike. It was like my immune system went on strike.
Okay, so she gets so COVID,
millions died,
COVID happens, she retreats to her hometown of Kansas City to live with her stepdad and her stepdad's dog. She gets an email from this pop star, and they begin a torrid love affair via email. He invites her to his house in LA, offers to fly her private. She turns it down, drives a borrowed Kia or whatever across the country, gets to his house. They make love, obviously. They have this whirlwind thing, and it's basically, there's more to it, but they end up together. They get married. She marries this really famous John Mayer-esque musician and lives in his $9 million house in Topanga Canyon, and she leaves Saturday Night Live and then sells a screenplay, you know, and everything is good.
Well, I guess I don't need to read the book now.
I mean, it's a pretty obvious. It's not like it's a tough nut to crack.
Well, it is a little formulaic, because you just described any screenplay of any Tina Fey movie written in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what it is.
It was, I couldn't put it down, I have to say. I mean, it's like a beach read vibe. It took like 4 hours total. But the one thing I liked about it, the device that I liked, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, is that their courtship is via email during COVID, and it's in the book, it just is emails. Like it's the emails between them, like formatted like emails. Mm-hmm. And I quite like that, to break up the pattern and kind of make you feel like you were really part of it.
Yes, 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 yes. And also, I think that's a good device, to use your words. I guess it could be seen as a little cheaty, but it's also like, I was listening to, where Hasan Minhaj was on Neil Brennan's podcast, and he was talking about how like comedians on text message are like the funniest texters in the world, but you know, nobody has been able to figure out how to sort of like translate that same level of, you know, like,
damn, that's interesting. Yeah.
The hot takes and things like that. And it was kind of interesting. So I'm feeling like that email device, because it's something that we all know and love, like we've all written an email that was like kind of funny, and we've all taken a risk, like, should I make this joke or reference?
Exactly.
Like my mom has done that, but my mom has never like written a 15-minute set for stand-up before. She's never like sat down to do some joke writing or script writing or whatever it is. So I think it is wise to use that device, because it's something so familiar to everyone.
It's very familiar. And the only downside
is you have to do it really well, because otherwise I'm going to be reading the book and being like, this ain't moving.
It was
me.
Pretty good. Like that part of it was pretty good and believable. But the thing that I liked the most about it was that you saw the timestamps of the emails. Mm. So it would be like, you would like read it and be like, oh wait, he's getting a little, you know, he's following up because he hasn't heard from her in whatever 15 hours, you know, where it was like really fast at the beginning or whatever.
Right.
So I thought that part of it was an extra little kind of bonus.
And maybe the 2:27 a.m. email is a little more down bad. And it's a little more.
Yes. Exactly,
let me get some titty type discourse.
Don't worry. This John Mayer character is sober. During one of his early tours, Jason, during his fame, his band was climbing a bridge and the drummer fell off and died, and he kind of never recovered from that. And that did cause him to go to rehab and kind of clean his life up.
Okay, there's a lot of parallels. This is also giving a little Travis Barker airplane accident.
Yeah. I mean, I only say that it's John Mayer because it's like the song titles and stuff they reference are very like Mayer-esque.
Okay.
You know.
So do you feel like you're almost too close to this novella?
Well, I was more like, I want to tap in with Mayer and see how he feels about it. Because, you know, it's a little too, there's also a part where they claim that Noah Brewster, this pop star, was wearing a wig, and I would never say that about Mayer. Mayer's got a beautiful full head of hair. So I just hope
that
part's...
Go ahead, pull it. No, seriously, pull it.
I hope that part's not ripped from the headlines is all I'm saying.
Well, I was going to say maybe we should have this author or authoress on the pod to talk about it. But yeah, we might as well just have John to come on and kind of see what he think about it.
The other twist that I tweet about because it blew my mind and is so strange and I don't know. I just the kind of what they bond over is an Indigo Girls song, which is like just such a choice to me. The Indigo Girls are underrated, I would say, like pretty incredible.
Was this written by a man or a woman? Not to genderize.
Why are you genderizing?
The Indigo Girls song is what we call a tell.
No, it's a woman.
In my gender studies class.
It's an American woman, and she's 47 years old from Cincinnati, Ohio, married to a man.
47-year-old woman from Cincinnati. We're in Indigo country, sweetheart.
No, I mean, a little bit, but Indigo country, fortunately for me, is Georgia, Jason, if you didn't know.
And they probably compost a lot too, right?
I mean, yeah, they probably do, yeah. I was just like, this is such a strange reference, and I didn't. It was interesting to use Indigo Girls as like a kind of like a male pop star being seen as deep because he likes the Indigo Girls, and that's like surprising. Do you know what I'm like? Well, I mean, that's not that realistic, but they are good, and they have like incredible harmonies and stuff, but I just don't see that as the guy. I don't see that as the bonding moment.
Well, if I'm a 47-year-old female author writing this book about like the nerdy writer who gets the hot musician guy, then yeah, my dream ideal love interest in my young adult romantic comedy book is going to also love my favorite song by the Indigo Girls. And that's going to make me squirt. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. That's a good
point. So this is just, you know, like when we were kids and our moms were reading romance novels, you know, this is the same shit.
Yeah, in some ways, for sure. I don't know why this book...
In every way.
I don't know why this book has taken hold of this, like, of people I know. I don't know. I don't get it fully, and I haven't looked into it. I just decided to read it.
Okay.
It's so good, honestly. I've noticed a lot of trends, though, in Charleston that I did want to discuss with you and kind of get your opinion on.
Let's get into it.
Well, first of all, I think the amount of people... Like, I couldn't believe how many people I saw on the street... They were carrying more than one pack of hard seltzer at a time. Like, I'm talking every third person had a Truly under each arm.
Yeah.
And this is a weeknight. This is every, like, do we not see that in New York? Like, why is this Southern or is this, I don't understand. Like, why, where is all this hard seltzer going?
Is it like college town vibes or is it just like local town folks? Yeah,
it's college.
Is it townies or students?
It's both. That's what I'm saying. The Truly market has taken over and I get that, but this was definitely like a beer town and now it's a hard seltzer
town. People don't drink beer anymore, bro. People do not drink beer anymore.
Really? I thought
Reagan. Especially Bud Light.
Well, of course not. I mean, that's disgusting. But I thought, so you're saying that hard seltzer has definitively killed the classic brewski?
It hasn't killed it, but it's taken a large chunk out of it and it disabling it greatly.
Sure.
Because
sure,
I mean, I'm obviously, you know, if you're like a kid and you start drinking at 13, you want to have yummy watermelon strawberry flavor juice. And not like a complex blend of hops and yeast, you know. So, and also I think it takes more time and costs more money to produce beer. So
yeah.
Whoever's making this hard seltzer, I mean, it's literally just like animal grade rubbing alcohol mixed with just like the same stuff that they flavor like Capri Sun with, you know, it's like,
no, that's
it costs
true.
Nothing
it's a
to
high
make.
C, it'd be a juice box level, but I just don't, I guess though, I guess I just, when we were younger, I didn't really drink beer because I just didn't like it, but like it was cool to drink beer. Like having a Stella in a bottle was like what you did at the bar.
It's still cool to drink beer.
I agree with you, but I'm telling you, it's obviously, for some people it is not.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I think...
Simple folk that have given up, you know?
But even a Southern college bro, it used to be a Miller Lite or a Bud Light in a can. Like that was like what was cool. And now it seems like a Truly watermelon is what they're reaching for. And that seems like, I mean, I don't want to say it, but it seems like that's a masculinity issue.
Yeah.
I don't want to go Huberman mode.
And it's because we haven't been passing down our traditions to future generations. Our generation, the generation of millennials who are having kids who are, you know, old enough to start drinking now, they drop the ball in teaching a man how to be a man and et cetera, et cetera. Bros drinking beers, maybe a little shot of whiskey.
Shot in a beer is a, I mean, you know, a shot in a beer is how men should drink. Even though I never drank like that, I do think that's how men should drink. And it's just, it's sad to see these guys pulling up, you know, in their fucking trucks, you know, looking good, got their Under Armour polo fresh pressed from the dry cleaners. The shorts are hitting right at the knee. You know, the chubbies are hitting right at the knee. They got the fucking, they got the flip flops on. They got the hair. The chicks are loving it. And they pull out a fucking, you know, lemon lime seltzer. It's just, it's crazy. Well, it's crazy.
Now that we're exploring this topic, I am seeing a little bit of a through line parallel with what we were talking about with the Starbucks and why it's grown in popularity for that stuff. Anything but coffee. It's sort of like coffee is the new, you know, coffee and beer are sort of parallel in this. And people are just drinking Starbucks juice, you know, whatever, just because it's easier and more familiar. And you know, like it's, you could go get a nice artisanal beer at the brewery, or you could get a nice espresso at the nice coffee shop, but fuck it. It's right there. It's easy. It's cheap. Fuck it.
The Walgreens.
That's it. That's what it boils down to.
The Walgreens is right across from the park, and they have Truly and chips. So it's like kind of an easy stop.
Everyone likes it.
No, you're right. You're right. I was just shocked that, like, in the South, especially, where to me, like, drinking beer is like really our culture. Like, that is truly what I think of, especially of like a college age bro. And these guys just fucking double fisting these seltzer, you know, pineapple seltzer was blowing my fucking mind. My gourd was wide open.
Well, let's get out of the South and back into our sweet spot of liberal media. Blue checks are gone on Twitter now. And it was a really fun game this week to see who could have their blue check taken away without tweeting about it.
Thank you. I would like to first of all thank my family and friends for their support. And I was able to, I was able to make it through this week without talking about my blue check disappearing. And I just want to say on the record right now to you, Jason, my friend and co-host, there's nothing less cool to talk about than Elon and the blue check. They took my, it's so deeply unfunny and not, I don't understand. I haven't seen one good thing about it. And by good, I mean funny.
Yeah. To me, the blue check being taken away was sort of just like fuel for the fire of people who have to reply to things and react to things online. You know, it's the same scenario as, you know, it's ice cream day, so now I know what to take a photo of on TikTok or whatever. It's the same thing, like, oh, now this happened, and I need to figure out what my take is going to be. And it's the same thing as, like, you know, when we were getting stimulus checks. It'd be on the news and the newspapers and TV and every website, just like, the stimulus check is over now, and we're not getting the stimulus check anymore. You're like, okay, that's all news, and we all understand that. And people still go on Twitter and being like, damn, I just got my last stimulus check.
Yeah.
Anytime people report the news on Twitter with no anything, they're just saying it like,
oh wait, is it the real me? Like, dude, yes, it's the real you. You worked at fucking GQ for a week in 2009 and somebody gave you a fucking blue check and you have 300 followers. Go fuck yourself. It's not fun. It's just not funny. It's not funny. And it's also like, I mean, I do think it's funny that Elon's paying for peoples to like piss them off. That's fucking funny. Like him paying $8 a month for LeBron is really funny. and Stephen King is the two. I think he's paying for LeBron and Stephen King. Those are the two, which is very funny. But people just think that I just don't understand. I don't understand. I guess part of it maybe is that he's like stopped and started so many times with this, and this was supposed to happen, and it hasn't happened. So I think that made it even worse as far as the amount of discussion about it goes.
Yeah, his feet were on the fire a little bit.
This with the BuzzFeed news shuddering has triggered. There's Kyle, our former guest Kyle Chayka, who writes for the New Yorker, wrote a good story about it. But it's kind of like it feels like the end of social media in some ways. And I think that, like, we both lived through the BuzzFeed boom of, like, take a quiz, you know, and how big that was. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel like social media, but it is at the same time because it was meant to be shared.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I need my aunt on Facebook to know which Game of Thrones character I am.
Exactly. And so now I think in this Twitter thing, obviously people have said Twitter is dying for the last year. Nothing really changes. People try to go to these fake startup Twitters that are invite only. Nothing's going to catch on. And it's just, we're going to ride this thing until it dies, and that's what's going to happen. And I personally don't think it'll actually ever go away or really change that much, because the blue check thing doesn't actually matter. It doesn't actually change how the site functions or anything.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't matter. Twitter definitely has gotten worse, and, you know, that's everyone's fault.
I actually disagree, but go ahead.
Or you're saying it hasn't gotten worse.
I think it's actually gotten better. Oh, okay. I think because people think that it's over, they care less, and people are saying why.
I think Twitter either needs to become that, or it needs to become like literally like a government, like federal utility. Like, yeah, it's such powerful, important tool in my life. Like, it's where everyone, you know, this is what everyone says. It's the coffee shop of the world. It's the meeting place of the world digitally. It's the metaverse.
The heartbeat of America is what I would say, but sure. Yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah,
it's the text-based metaverse. It's just where everyone goes for everything. And it really is that powerful. And for that reason, it should get some type of government bailout. But the problem is, you know, you can't have, like, no one's going to want to use Twitter if it's like a regulated government website.
Yeah, it turns in.
And obviously Elon's ruining it. But I think we're going to be able to learn from our mistakes. And like any good platform like this, or any good, you know, website or anything like this, like, there is a life cycle to it. And at some point you do have to crash the plane, or Elon does have to do that. Like, at a certain point, we got to be like, all right, we had a good run, but we have to like stop Twitter and start a new one, and like assemble a good team of people that will run it the right way. And that'll be the future of politics. It's like, I don't need a city congressperson. I don't need a state comptroller. Who's going to be able to run my Twitter and Instagram? That's who I'm going to vote for. It's going to be like that.
I think you're right, except that I think Twitter is more about function than it is anything else. Like, it serves more of a purpose than the other ones, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, like, because of the way it disseminates information, it's like more valuable to a wider swath of people than like Instagram, where you just get to see like titties and cool basketball shots, you know? But I think that what I'm saying is like, people are more bought in on it because it serves more of a purpose. So I think it will survive longer. But the line of discussion about what the future is like, unfortunately, it's like Discord and kind of these smaller communities where people have like more in common, basically up front. It's not like everyone is there. It's like you have to be invited necessarily, but it's like obviously a small group that is interested in certain things, which is fine, but that's obviously less funny to me because it'll just be a bunch of nerds talking about, you know, what they want to talk. I don't know. I'm not interested in being in a group of 100 people talking about what's going on in the media. That's not interesting. It's the fact that it's like I can see things from people I have nothing in common with that make me laugh is the only reason to use Twitter.
I think there's benefit to both, even though I don't use Discord or any of that stuff as well. But I think it's like Discord is a store and Twitter is the mall, and like,
yeah,
you can hang out inside the skate shop with all of your cool friends and talk about like-minded stuff, but that's just your little world. And you also need to be able to go out and socialize with everyone in the world, the whole mall. You got to go buy Wetzel's, get some hose, whatever it is, or else you're just going to be the weird guy who hangs out in the video store or whatever, you know?
No, I'd much rather sit in the food court and watch the world pass me by.
They must be pumping that smell in here. It smells so good.
Yeah, but you make a good point. That's a good comparison. But I just don't think any, I mean, the thing is, this is, I feel like this debate is had every 3 months, you know, and nothing actually changes that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that things like Discord are just too dorky for most people. Like, the way it looks, even. It's not the idea isn't dorky. The idea is basically like re-engineering the chat room of like the AOL. You know what I mean? It's really the same idea. But I think that the way it looks and the way it functions is just like, it's too MS-DOS, like Web 1.0. for people. Like, yeah. Twitter is kind of, is simple, but it doesn't look like shit.
But that's an aesthetic that a lot of people like. I mean, obviously you're not one of them, but
no, I think a lot of people like it, but a lot of people that we know, not like a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, not like a general,
right?
Like,
right,
I don't think
right.
the general population is into that, or even understand. It makes it feel harder to use before you even start, which I think could turn people off.
Sure. Well, hopefully we'll be able to live the rest of our lives without having to figure out Discord.
God's plan. I mean, you know, we can only hope. I've used it. I use it. Like, that's how Jay likes to communicate. And it's, I get it as a Slack replacement, kind of, because it's like a little, it's just like, I get that use of it. I do not get the use of it as like, this is where I go hang out with my boys. Like, this isn't going to replace the bar.
This is where I go upload all of my classified government documents.
Exactly. Yeah, that's more what I use it for. Yeah, exactly. I kind of think of it as more of a government document area than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, once you have this cool techie website where it looks like you're logging on to a Minority Report database and you're doing cool gamer stuff, and once that's been co-opted by, like, incel Nazis who are posting like South Park memes with, you know, it's like
we're done. I wanted to talk about Lil Uzi Vert's recent name change. I don't know if you've seen this.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's going by Leslie Chow now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. He's signing his post Leslie Chow and kind of speaking in the third person as Leslie. So I just wanted to kind of put some respect on that, and let's refer to Uzi as Leslie from now on. This is his choice, and I want to support him. You know, I want to support him.
Man, I gotta say, Lil Wayne really qualled so Leslie could walk in those Tom Brown heels. I think I'm only saying that because two rap geniuses. Mm-hmm. Who have clearly smoked themselves retarded, and there's like this special fine line, like Lil Wayne had it when he was recording the greatest rapping of all time. You know, a lot of people would agree with that. Some people would argue that, but
yeah.
Many respected people said, like, you know, Lil Wayne in his prime, that's kind of as good as it's gotten for the human being,
and I want to understand. I want to understand his prime is like a milli, 6 foot, 7 foot is kind of his prime, like, especially commercially. Or are we talking about? Because that's what I consider, just because of how big it was, like globally and commercially. Like, I'm sure we could get into the nuance of like mixtape shit, but obviously I don't care about that. Obviously,
yeah. I mean, I guess like Carter II era, 2000, like between 2005 and 2008 or something like that. Where he was just releasing like a new mixtape every month, and he would get the instrumentals for every hot song, every like Southern snap song.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would just absolutely black out. It was right before things go dark. Like, you know this with drug use, like you find this sweet, amazing spot where you're just so high, you're in a good mood, the creativity is gushing like a fire hose, and you're saying things that a sane, sober mind could never create. And this fire burns in this amazing way for a brief amount of time, and then you inevitably stop abusing drugs and you go back to sort of your normal human being self, or you just literally smoke yourself into like a rotten crab apple where we've passed it, but at least you touched it. Like, you got to touch the 100-foot wave.
Yeah, he's probably one of
But at a certain point, you got to hang it up.
No, he's one of the greatest drug users of all time when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I would
say... And I think Uzi is there right now. He's getting in that zone. He's invincible. He's the most interesting human being right now.
Yeah, but he doesn't
have any... Rapper or not.
My problem with him is he doesn't have any songs. Like, Lil Wayne had fucking hits. Like, Lil Wayne had the entire world... singing, like, everyone we've ever met and ever talked to knows the words to a milli.
Yeah,
like, most people can't even name a Lil Uzi Vert song.
I think young people can, and, you know, people love him. He like Rolling Loud, he's playing last. That's just what it is, you know?
I mean, I love him. I love him too. I love him too. I don't need songs from him because he's actually interesting.
And also, it really is with the youth. Like you see videos where it's like,
yeah, sure. Like you're right.
Like
you're
the
right.
Toy Story cast dancing to I Just Want to Rock like that. And it's just like 5 year olds. Just literally, you know, like when you'd see like the Wiggles or Barney or whatever, they're just like gouging their eyes out with a fucking soup spoon. Like, this is fucking Nirvana. What the fuck, bro? This is so fucking sick.
Yeah.
And just looking at him, he should be studied. He should be preserved and studied. I hope he gets to live forever.
No, I mean, I hope he gets to live forever too. That's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's gonna be great for all of us to watch. But yeah, Leslie Chow, let's put some respect on his name. And I kind of like it. I think it has a nice ring to it. It feels kind of like old school. It feels respectable. I don't know. I like it. I love when a man's named Leslie. I think that's a kind of forgotten name.
I think he's gathering a little Lucy Liu in her prime as well. You know, maybe honestly, Lucy Liu, Kill Bill Volume 2 was 2004, a year before the Carter 2 drop. There's that going on. I think he's mixing like a 20-year-old Lucy Liu with like a modern day Kiko. In terms of what aesthetic style he's going for. Is he dressing? Okay. He's dressing insanely as well, right?
I mean, dude, he dresses. When is he not dressed insane? I think
he's turned up the gas even more, you know?
Yes, he's turned up. I mean, I think that I think once he started getting those like facial piercing under the skin things, that's when I feel like he lost the plot a little bit for me.
Okay, so I'm on his Instagram. It says Lil Uzi Vert, they, them, Leslie Chow, and then the emoji of like the disco dancing guy.
Yeah, okay.
And then his avatar photo is just a picture of Grimes.
This honestly sounds like TJ Bait across the board. This whole thing sounds like it was engineered for you.
And then he posted, it looks like he's in Japan or somewhere in Asia. And the caption says, I didn't come here to be a model. I came here to get money. Fuck looking good. I look rich. It is what it is. Leslie Chow.
How could you not love that? That's the coolest thing anybody's ever said. I damn. That's my whole motto for tour. That's kind of what we need to print, have Tim print that out and post it up backstage every night so I can like tap it before we walk out on stage.
There's this photo of him in Thailand where I'll send it to you. He's you know, Lightspeed champion, like Dev yes. Hines is
yeah,
like
of course,
for, like when Dev Hines was in his indie sleaze mode.
That was Dev Hines' best output, Lightspeed Champion. If you haven't heard that album, go listen to it.
But he looks like just like a nerdy girl, you know. I guess he's Leslie Chowing, but just breathtaking. And then he's got the hot pink
Dude, the hair is so sick.
Pink nails.
He's got
hair,
like a helmet. He's got like a My Chemical Romance helmet cut with pink tips. This guy is fucking absolutely losing it. And the caption is Leslie was in Thailand. Like
what a gift.
I don't understand though, like the third person, it's very confusing. Like you can't, if you're gonna change your pronouns, I get it, I respect it, but then also the third person, I just don't even know what to call you anymore when you start speaking in third person.
Leslie, if you're listening, just let us know how to address you. I don't want to ruffle any of your
Leslie your is one of feathered the hair. Leslie is one of the sweetest, coolest celebrities I've ever met, I have to say.
I bet.
Absolute legend. Like, really, really has it all, and I think that's why fame will continue, even with no songs. Because people want to be around. That's the key.
No songs necessary.
No songs necessary. And
his presence is the presence.
That's very true, Jason. Thank
we
you.
Are, Thank we you are balls deep in Coachella week two. Much more of a fizzle than a dab. We were reading that they were scrambling to find a way to repurpose Frank the Tank's makeshift ice skating rink because it cost millions of dollars to build.
Yeah.
And that was something that caught my eye. Like I know it costs a lot of money to do stuff like that, but like millions of dollars? Like I know some meth head contractors that'll get it done for like four bands plus fucking plus, you know?
I think plus a couple six packs of Modelo. They don't drink seltzer.
Carton of cigs, monsters.
I think it's more about the refrigeration and what it what it takes to keep
the chilling technology
cold. You know what I mean?
Obviously, water is very inexpensive in relation to.
I would love to see Blink 182 on ice as much as you, but I don't think that was really gonna. I don't think that's really the best idea.
Yeah, I feel like if I was Bjork's manager, I'd be like, bro, we'll freak the ice ring. You already know that. You know?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Bjork comes in on the Zamboni. It's over. The crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I have to say, watching the world turn on Frank Ocean has been obviously gratifying for me, a known hater, but also the way people are defending him, being like, he doesn't owe you shit, which I kind of, I have to politely disagree. He does kind of contractually owe us shit. You know what I mean? Like if you pay for a ticket and he's the headliner of the show, he's supposed to perform, you know, like he's supposed to perform up to a certain standard. And I understand that he don't owe you shit. He's an artist kind of attitude. But if that's the case, then he should be giving his music away for free on fucking SoundCloud. That ain't where we're at. You know what I mean? Like this is a bigger issue than that. But I think that the Blink-182 Fred again, you know, thing, but apparently he didn't get paid for Weekend 2 at all.
Who, Frank?
Frank the Tank didn't get paid for Weekend 2, which is...
The kill fee got killed.
Which is, I mean, I'm proud of our friends at Golden Voice for standing their ground.
Yeah.
Because he don't deserve a fucking penny. Like, if you cancel after the tickets are sold, you're just a fucking dickhead.
I'm proud of our Golden Voice family for standing tall and using their accountants to figure out why Frank actually owes them money, not the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, I also want to be very clear. If you believe that he actually broke his ankle, you're an idiot and you are lying to yourself. This man is 100% healthy. He's embarrassed because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and he didn't want to do it again. And you can say whatever you want, but that man did not break his ankle. There's no way. There's no way. His ankle ain't broken.
I was thinking about it a little bit, why people seem to be so frustrated. I mean, obviously, we know why people are frustrated, but why people are having a hard time and like writing opinion think pieces about it and having their like nuanced takes about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. A singer canceling a show. I think it's because he's sort of living that fuck you rock star lifestyle, but in pure silence. Like we want, so many of our favorite rock stars of the years have done this, but you're doing it with panache, with swagger, with sauce.
Yeah.
You're not going in silence mode. You know what I mean? And that's where people start to speculate.
Yeah.
They get angry where we want the press conference where Axl Rose is like, suck my fucking dick. I don't fucking care. And the fans are like, classic Axl. Fucking love it, baby. Love it. Or like Morrissey is just like.
Exactly. It only sells. It only sells more.
Or like,
records.
Oh, I don't. It oh, it smells like records. Corn dogs. I'm canceling the show.
It's too cold. You know,
real Morrissey fans are going to be like, I can't really hate love like it. That's we this is what we knew was going to happen. Like
that's our guy.
Frank gonna Frank at the end of the
that's
day.
Our guy.
The
that's
problem
my man.
Is he's not giving us any of that personality, any of the reasoning why, any of that like you know, rock star lifestyle, you know, like Liam Gallagher press conference type shit where it's like, you can all fuck off.
No.
You know, and he's just being silent. So there's nothing good or bad for anyone to latch onto.
I think we've all known that Frank Ocean hates his fans, and that I respect him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta play ball when it comes to like playing for an hour and a half for $5 million. Like you don't have you ain't doing meet and greets. No one's asking you to sign merch. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, you're literally this is the bare minimum. If you're a professional musician, the bare minimum is playing a show. The bare minimum is playing a show. Like you got to do that.
Yeah,
like,
and
you
if
gotta,
you're like, an R&B pop rapper, any type of person like that at Coachella or even Blink-182, like we all know that you're going to use auto-tune, you're going to use backing tracks. Like we're way beyond giving a fuck about that. Like I'm watching Ray Schremer and he's not holding the microphone up to his face, and all the lyrics are happening, but he's running around, he's jumping up and down, he's saying thank you to the crowd. He's getting everybody in, you know, he's burning calories, and that's all we care about.
Yeah, no, that's all we care. I mean, I think that, like, yeah, the minimum amount of effort it requires nowadays is so staggering, and him not being able to meet that minimum for an exorbitant amount of money is just, like, your ego is too big. Like, there's really no other way to cut the cake. Like, there's nothing else that could be the problem here.
I mean, unless, you know, I want to hope in the 1% chance, or I mean, I guess the negative 0.1% chance that he's doing an Eric Andre style performance art thing.
Yes.
And in 3 months, he's going to announce the Vegas residency that he's going to just kill it at. You know what I mean? Just, he's going to do a full U-turn.
When I think of Frank Ocean, I think of humor. You know, I think of guys that are funny. You know, he's really known for killing it with the jokes.
Well, you know, he's an adjacent member of the pranksters known as Odd Future, Golf Wang.
That's,
so
that's a good point. I always forget that he's Golf
Wang. He's a little bit of a merry prankster himself.
That's true. That's a good point. It's interesting to watch, though, how he's like, he was so beloved and considered this genius, and Tyler, the creator, who was more the fun-loving kind of, you know, just not like the total opposite vibe, has now become a superstar. I mean, he's a fucking superstar, and he shows up and he plays the game and he's good at it. And he does it on his own terms, and I, you know, it's impressive to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is the way to play this versus being the like reclusive, damaged guy when you're probably just like rich and a little bit sad because fame is a prison. You know, it's not really like, it's tough, but it's funny to watch the both of those guys become so fucking famous in different ways, and kind of how they've handled
yeah,
it,
man. I mean, you know, mental health is a serious thing at the end of the day, and you know, a lot of people are not built for the, you know, fame in 2023. It's really, really fucking tough. But I want Frank Ocean to like go to Post Malone's ranch in Utah or whatever and just spend a month with him. You know, when you hear like Mike Myers went to go stay with the Supermensch guy in Hawaii and just kind of dry out after his mom died or whatever, like Frank needs to go to Post Malone's house. They just shotgun Bud Lights and like shoot stuff and just make music and just, you know, put a smile back on the face. Posty knows how to do it. And then we'll be back in the saddle again.
Yeah, he can. I mean, he can fly some fellas out there. You know what I mean? He can make it a little. You can make a weekend out of it and get some twinks at the pool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no big deal.
I'm sure Posty has a his and hers hot tub.
Oh yeah, no, he keeps it. He keeps church and state separate. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the gym in Charleston, Jason, because it blew my fucking third eye open.
Okay. I'm ready.
Ethos Athletic Club is nicer than any gym I've been to in New York or LA. And I was just really impressed with the whole operation. It really made me feel great. And I don't know. I just like
Ethos.
Yeah, Ethos. It's huge. This shit's like an airplane hangar. They have everything. It was truly incredible.
Okay, she's impressed.
And the weights were, of course, How Long Gone themed, which was accidental. But there was the plates were green and blue.
Some blue and green rogue plates.
That I did put up a PR on the trap bar deadlift. Thanks to I think that pushed me over the edge.
Trap bar deadlift. What are we hitting there?
We were at 245s and a 25 on each side. So I don't really know.
The trap bar, that's the one where it's like kind of like you stand inside of it and it goes around.
You stand inside of it and then you set like the set. It's 10, 8, 6, 4, 2 are the sets. Thanks to Hunter's programming. It's nothing to stay in shape on the road.
And then as we're going down in reps, we're going up in weight, I hope, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank God. So, you know, and I was feeling powerful. And I think the blue and green put me over the edge. And also, you know, being in a new gym really lights a fire under my fanny to kind of just, you know, I see all these buff Southern guys and fucking, you know, mesh hats and shit. And I'm like, all right, bitch, like I can do this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have, this is a little show and prove. You walk in with all your little fruity tattoos and they're like, who's this Southern sissy coming to put up some weight? And then you said, we're going to get after it.
By the end, they were showing me the guns in their glove boxes and calling me Bubba, just how God intended. It's no problem. It's no problem to make some new friends down.
Me
down
and some of the guys, we're going to get canes afterwards. You want dirty bolt?
I was talking to Sam Jane. I was like, I'm actually driving from Savannah to Charleston today. And he was like, that's a Zaxby's ass road trip. And I was like, damn, that's really funny. I always forget that Sam's like Southern adjacent and can make a Zaxby's joke.
Damn. What do you order at Zaxby's?
I've never been there. But I believe it's like a Chick-fil-A competitor, but it's a strip instead of a nugget. So I guess it's more of a Cane's competitor, really.
Yeah, you got chicken fingers, you got fried pickles.
I believe they have a Texas toast. option available, which I feel like is, I feel like it's something that is kind of underappreciated at a lot of these. At a lot
they also have fried cheddar bites.
Damn, that's the so they got the redneck mozzarella stick.
No, and then they got the hood chick fried mushrooms. I'm doing it healthy. I'm keeping it healthy. These mushrooms are low-key good.
Can you imagine rolling up to Zaxby's and ordering some fried mushrooms with the waist trainer on? Just like, I'm keeping it light.
Sweet tea. Not too sweet.
That's really, yeah. I've never been to a Zaxby's, but I remember
extra mayo in the club.
I remember when Zaxby's like came into town in Atlanta, and it was like a big, it kind of was a shift in the culture when Zaxby's touched down. It's like Cane's. Didn't they open a Cane's in like West Hollywood?
Yeah, Burbank.
No, they opened one in New York. That's what it is. Kat Marnell's been reporting they're opening a Cane's like in Manhattan.
Damn, bro. This is huge for me.
I know. This is Jason's looking at delta.com.
Well, I'll be down in Atlanta in a few weeks for our live show there on May 10th. I will be eating some southern bits, so we will bop over to Zaxby's for a Zaxby's haul. And for to drink, sweet tea.
We're going on tour. You guys already know. We're doing a few shows in the US of A. Tickets are, I mean, there's a few left, I think, in Philadelphia, Chicago.
Yeah.
My beautiful hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. London's basically gone in August, but there might be a few left for that, too. Come see us. The merch is done. We're going to be putting that for sale the day the tour launches. So you people that live in real cities, nice cities,
you people
will be able to purchase that online. It's going to be a couple colorways that had a couple new shirts designed by Sam Jane yet again. We'll put that up, and then I think that's it, Jason. I'm ready to hit the road. I'm excited.
I think too.
We're going to Vegas this week to work everything out. We got big plans in Atlanta that we're just going to keep secret until we do them.
Yeah. I'm very excited to go to Vegas this week, sit down, whiteboard, and blue sky, our brand new hour, really cranking it out at a Louis C.K. speed. And we're excited to come to your city and press the flesh, have some jokes, get a little silly. I might even have one drink. Who knows?
Jason's getting twisted as hell, and I think that if he doesn't, we're going to have some conversations at the Holiday Inn Express. All right. How Long Gone. Thank you guys for listening so much. Get your tickets, howlonggone.com. We will be back with more podcasts next week. We got some good stuff lined up actually next week. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we have a legendary comedian coming up this week, a guy who I've seen do stand up probably at least over 20 years ago probably.
Wow, okay. And also I want to give a shout out to all our boxing heads last night. The guy Gervonta Davis won the big fight wearing human-made trunks. So I know that's got David
Cho. Is that the Pharrell shit?
I know that's got David Cho excited. That's the Nego. Yeah, that's the Nego shit. So everybody, Nego and Pharrell. So I know all my heads are happy.
David Cho, our friend, CHO, not David CHOE from Netflix's Beef.
Yeah, which I, of course, haven't.
We do not associate with that demon.
I haven't. I mean, I've seen his art, and that's enough to not watch the show. How Long Gone? Thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. Jason, enjoy your Sunday. I know you got hella chores on decky.
Yeah, I literally had a water my spigot where my hose comes out of the wall in the backyard. It just cracked, gushing water out. I had to shut the water off, somehow get the old rusted shit broken off there. Damn. Capped it up at Home Depot. I was really feeling proud of myself.
So you did. And then you fixed it.
Went straight to a Sporty and Rich tennis event in the Mulholland Club. So it was a real fire and ice day for me.
It's a high-low day. Jason was able to get a free smoothie, so it was worth the 45-minute drive over there, I'm sure.
After that smoothie, I didn't even need lunch, y'all.
It's so crazy. I love protein powder. All right, How Long Gone? Thank you for listening. Jason, get to your chores. I'm going to go stroll, get a fourth wave coffee, and I will I'll talk to you next week.
Savannah Strong.
Later, Chief.
That's my port name. Where you from? Where you from? Throw it out. Fresh. Going nice. Yeah. Going down. Sauce it down. Sauce it up. Do too much. Do too much. Ain't enough. Ain't enough. Ain't enough. Where you from? Where you from?